Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Browns post-game podcast. Browns losers to the Broncos 29-12. Dan Lobby, Mary Kay Cabot, Ashley Bastock, and we are in Denver. What is this, Empower Field at Mile High Stadium? We're still sitting here in the press box at 8:55 Mountain Time. Do we want to spend time on how Mountain Time? I was talking to our texters, telling them why Mountain Time was the best.
Can
but
we talk about the fact that you literally converted me on this? Like, I thought this was such a stupid take by you. I've always been like an East Coast gal. East Coast time is the best time. And then we come out here and I'm like, this is heaven. This is heaven. It's perfect.
No matter what you think of Mountain Time, East Coast time is the best time is like the worst take you've ever had. There's no doubt about that.
I don't think it's the worst
one
I've ever had.
No, it's up there.
We can go through these podcasts and find worse ones.
Okay, I guess we need to talk about this football game and, of course, the injuries that occurred during this game. There's two big ones that we need to get to, but we'll start with the Dorian Thompson-Robinson injury because this has just been the story of the season, Mary Kay, is who is going to play quarterback? And now after Dorian Thompson-Robinson suffers a concussion on a jarring hit, Joel Bitonio called it maybe the hardest hit he's ever seen. At the next to last play in the third quarter, PJ Walker came in relief. Joe Flacco was not elevated for this game, so he was not available at all. Here we go. We're going to LA, and we don't know who the Browns starting quarterback is going to be. It could be DTR if he clears protocol. I doubt it. It could be PJ Walker. I don't know if Kevin Stefanski trusts him. It could be Joe Flacco. What are the Browns going to do?
Well, you know, it is really unfortunate. This was supposed to be, a little homecoming week for DTR. They're practicing at UCLA, his alma mater, all week. And, you know, this was supposed to be an uplifting trip where they didn't have to fly back and forth. And, you know, it's their business trip, as Kevin Stefanski called it. And now DTR is uncertain for the LA Rams game. His mouth was bloodied. It was a huge hit. I mean, it was scary when he went down. I'm sorry. That is the kind of thing that just scares anyone. I'm sure his mother was, very scary to see that. But, stranger things have happened. I mean, quarterbacks have suffered a concussion in a game and have cleared protocol and have played in the next game. But this one looked pretty bad. I mean, even when he walked out of the locker room and left the stadium, he still looked somewhat bewildered. So, I'm going to guess that there's a good chance he's probably not going to play in this game against the Rams when you've got, a pretty aggressive defense that you'd be going against as well. So, I do think that they have some decisions to make. Is Joe Flacco ready to start for this football team yet? Well, they might not really have much of a choice. P.J. Walker turns the ball over too much. It didn't help matters that Amari Cooper left the game. That did not help P.J. Walker in the end. But this thing just got ugly. And, here they are now just in a situation where they don't know who the heck's going to start for them at quarterback on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, Ashley, this has been the theme of the season. I feel like we've done this over and over again. Like, with of course, Deshaun, will he, won't he? And then Deshaun came back, and then Deshaun's season ended. It was back to Dorian. And now, I don't know. And if Dorian can't get on the practice field Wednesday and Thursday, that's going to be an awfully quick turnaround. You know, like Mary Kay said, it didn't look good. I think Brock Purdy cleared the concussion protocol in a week earlier this season. But yeah, I've seen photos from Josh Gunter, our photographer that was here. Obviously, we were watching. You know, we saw DTR in the locker room. I don't know. It would be surprising. And now the question is Joe Flacco going to be able to come in and run this offense on, you know, just under 2 weeks worth of practice time?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with the protocol. Like, once guys are in it, not many of them. I think it's only been a handful of guys this year that have been able to get out of it within that week time frame. It doesn't happen very often. So I think when we say, like, it's not looking good, that's a big part of it, obviously, plus the hit itself. But yeah, I mean, it's like this was supposed to be the year of quarterback certainty, right? After a year of uncertainty that they went through last year, like waiting for Deshaun Watson's suspension, finding out how long it was going to be, him coming back and having the rust and not looking perfect. Like this year, they started this year with Josh Dobbs as the backup, who knew this offense, had been here last year, and DTR, promising rookie they thought they could develop. And now, like you said, Deshaun Watson's season is unexpectedly over. And how that went down in the first place was shocking in its own right. And now DTR comes out here in the second game he has to start after Deshaun's season ends and leaves with a hard hit to the head. That, like Mary Kay said, was scary as it happened. So I definitely think it's wild to think that Joe Flacco is potentially going to be starting this game because we know like PJ Walker has started for them, obviously, right? But he has issues turning the ball over, and that's what killed them in that Seahawks loss. And I don't think they're going to go back to him over Joe Flacco because you didn't bring him here just to be on your practice squad.
Yeah, I mean, it sure felt, Mary Kay, and we've talked about this, but it sure felt like the interception against Seattle that obviously Kevin spent a week getting killed for was sort of the last straw for P.J. Walker. And they had to turn to him today because they obviously didn't think Flacco was ready to elevate him and put him in uniform. But it would be really difficult for me to see Kevin saying, yeah, we're just going to go back to P.J. after he kind of benched him, right, when he made the decision to go back to Dorian, even though that would, you know, the Deshaun coming back was in between all that. He did essentially demote P.J. Walker to the third-string quarterback.
And that's the reason that they went out and got Joe Flacco. I mean, they didn't just go add somebody to the quarterback room. You know, they didn't just go add somebody that they could keep on the practice squad for the rest of the year and call up in the event they needed him. What they did was they went out and tried to upgrade over P.J. Walker. That's what this is all about. The problem is that it's just happening too soon. They had no intentions of starting Joe Flacco against the Rams this week. And now that's what situation they're in, is that they might have to decide to do that. What they probably would have done is have him be the number two, dressed on the sidelines, helping DTR, and maybe stepping in for him if necessary. And now they have to, perhaps start a player who's been with the team for a little over a week. Now, it didn't, you know, hey, Josh Dobbs has done that this year. Josh Dobbs has gone out, and he has done that. Speaking of Josh Dobbs, by the way. Josh Dobbs, right? I mean, they could have avoided all of this. They could have avoided all of this. Again, I can't take credit for thinking that the initial trade back in training camp was a horrible idea because I always thought that they needed a more experienced backup than even Joshua Dobbs. I thought they needed some kind of version of a Jacoby Brissett, somewhere along that level of player. But I certainly thought that they should have brought back Jacoby Brissett or Josh Dobbs at the trade deadline. And they could have done it. They could have done it. And when you have these running mobile quarterbacks, they're not going to play all 17 games. They're going to get hurt. And I don't know. I think they left themselves short. And it has the potential to cost them the playoffs. I really do. I think it has the chance to go. Somebody even asked me back then, so you'd give up a third-round pick for Jacoby Brissett? I'm like, yeah, I'd give up a third-round pick for Jacoby Brissett. I mean, if it means that the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs?
I mean, look at their recent third-round picks here. Like, no offense to some of those guys, but, like, would you rather have a Jacob Phillips or a Jacoby Brissett, you know?
Yeah, so it's just, it's been an a frustrating exercise, and I don't think it needed to get to this point. And now here they are, faced with potentially starting a player who drove in from Philly last week and is now possibly going to be their starting quarterback.
And by the way, I mean, just Dorian Thompson Robinson, too, is not like the biggest guy in the world. I mean, I think that's one of the concerns with him is he's not like this big. He's a mobile running quarterback who's going to take hits, and he's not the biggest guy in the world. And he played better today, but there were still issues. There were still accuracy issues. There were still some things that made you wonder how sustainable this was all going to be to begin with. And, you know, whenever people talk about Josh Dobbs, I know there are certain people out there who will say, well, you know, look who Cincinnati has starting and look at some of these other teams that don't have reliable backups. And it just goes back to you had him, like, the Browns are the only team that had him in their building. Like, they re-signed him to be the backup. They named him the backup and then traded him 2 hours later. Like, the Browns had him in their building. So it's like a completely different idea than, well, Cincinnati went with Jake Browning or whatever. I think, Ashley, I reject that argument personally. I think we all do. Like, he was here. He was in your building. Everything was fine. You just should have lived without that fifth-round pick or whatever what it was you got back for him.
Yeah, I mean, that fifth-round pick, man, we're going to be relitigating this trade until, you know, that person's career is, you know, it more in our field of vision, I guess. Like, until we've seen how that plays out. But right now, man, I'm like, it's just hard to justify this. Like, looking at how well he's played, knowing that he knew this offense, he was comfortable here, knowing that him and Deshaun Watson have this, you know, years-long history together that predates either of them being in the NFL even, and how much they worked out together, how smart Joshua Dobbs is, like, all these things. It just seemed like a pretty good option that they were in. And I mean, at the time, yeah, like, I was hesitant because I do think Joshua Dobbs, at the very least, right? So say we don't know that he's going to have the year that he's had at the time. At the very least, Joshua Dobbs knows how to be a backup quarterback in the NFL and everything that you have to do with that. Helping a starter prepare week in and week out. He's made a career off of that. And this year, yeah, he's getting his chance to start some games and it's gone pretty well for him. And he's kind of become this folk hero sort of legend this season. But I do think at the very least you had that and you let it get away. And I do think it's unfortunate, especially at a time like this.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Okay, we got to talk about the other injury. That was Myles Garrett in a sling after the game. This was concerning. People started to notice that Myles was struggling during this game, Mary Kay. And then we go in the locker room. We see Myles trying to put on his shirt. This is the weird world of being in the locker room. We see Myles trying to put on his shirt. He couldn't use his left arm. He had to have help put his shirt on. And then the next thing we know, he's talking to us in front of his locker in a sling. This is concerning. You know, Myles is Myles. He says he's going to play through it or whatever. But I mean, I guess we'll see.
Yes, we will see. And here's why we will see. And that is because what a player wants to do and what the medical staff and the team allow him to do are sometimes two different things. And generally, when you hear something pop in a shoulder, in a tendon, in a joint, a lot of times it's not good. The outcome isn't good, as I wrote in my Miles story. You know, Joe Burrow felt something pop in his wrist, and he had to undergo season-ending wrist surgery.
And by the way, I'll just interrupt here and say, after the game, they said it was a sprained wrist.
Yes. Okay, good. Yes.
So you just never know. Like,
yeah, you don't know.
You just don't know after the game what it is.
You don't know. And Myles, you know, didn't even try to downplay what this could be. He said, we'll find out. Yeah. We'll see what the exams say. So he is heading out to L.A. with the rest of the team. They flew out there right after the game. And, Now, one good thing is that he has available to him out there the preeminent shoulder specialist probably in the world, and that's Dr. Neil Elitrosh. And he performed Deshaun Watson's surgery. And Deshaun is going to be out there, and they're going to check in with Deshaun and Dr. Elitrosh. The first thing that I would have Miles do on Monday is go see Dr. Elitrosh. That's exactly what I would do. So I'm sure that's what they're going to do. The Browns love him. If they know that Deshaun's having the surgery with Dr. Elitrosh, then I'm sure that they would want Miles to see him. I could be wrong. Maybe they'll start with the basics and go, you know, do the MRI and all that kind of stuff. But if you're right there at the Cedars-Sinai Curlin Job Institute, why not do it? So that's what I'm gonna call it right now. That's what needs to happen. Until they get the results, and I doubt we're going to know tomorrow. We're going to have a Zoom with Kevin tomorrow afternoon, and who knows? He'll probably say that he doesn't have the results yet, even though we all know they get the results within hours after they have these MRIs. Obviously, we'll share it with you guys as soon as we find anything out. But the thing with Deshaun Watson is that he begged doctor after doctor after doctor to let him shoot up his shoulder that had a fractured glenoid bone in the socket and let him continue to play and finish the season. And they said, no way, you're not doing it. Now, Miles told us on Friday in the locker room that his shoulder felt terrible. I asked him today, is it related? You told us Friday your shoulder felt terrible. And he said, now I guess maybe it is that. Maybe it is the same thing. So even he doesn't know. But if he's lost for any length of time, that's a killer. That is just a killer on so many levels. They're running out of really, really good players.
Yeah, and Ashley, Miles plays through things. We saw it last year. He played with that bad shoulder and arm, whatever else, out of that car accident. He played through all of that. He very rarely misses time. I think he had an ankle injury his rookie year or something like that, but he usually plays. So if something were to keep him out, it would be something really serious. But that being said, we also know there were times last year and there have been other times when we just have seen Miles play. He hasn't been 100%. And while you'd rather have Miles out there at even 50%, 50% Miles is better than most alternatives. This defense is different if Miles can't be the Miles Garrett who was on the verge of maybe winning Defensive Player of the Year this year.
It's so true. I mean, and it is probably worth noting, at least, that when he did get in that car accident last year, it was his right bicep and it was his left shoulder that were hurt. And then today it is the left shoulder again. So I do think each of the last handful of years, right, you look at his season, you look at last year with the car accident. After he goes through that, he fights back and plays like within 2 weeks of that happening, but definitely struggled in terms of his production, especially getting to quarterbacks. You look at the end of 2021. Now, that season went downhill pretty quickly, but he started fighting through a groin injury that he suffered in December, had to deal with that down the stretch of the season, and his production went down. He was sacking the quarterback at a pretty high rate in the early part of that season, and I think only had like 1.5 sacks down the stretch after that happened. And then in 2020, when he got COVID, we know that slowed him down. It's very similar, right? Like, he starts off super hot. Something like this happens, he still plays, but that production and getting to the quarterback goes down, and it kind of ends up, in the past, tanking his chances at Defensive Player of the Year. So I am really curious, like, what obviously the results say, but if he does fight back and is able to play, okay, are we going to see that production dip that we've seen the last few years for him when something physically isn't quite right?
And the other part of this, too, is teams get very physical with Miles. And I mean, we saw it a little bit today with Denver. He got frustrated after one play where the guard kind of shoved him a little bit. And he thought it was a little bit after the play. He seemed kind of put his arms up. But Mary Kay, teams are very physical with Miles Garrett. And they chip him and they hit him. I mean, the Steelers, he told us that, they're the most physical team with him. But we see it from other teams, too. And now if he's got to deal with all that and have a banged up shoulder, we saw it last year against Tampa. He took a shot to that shoulder from a chipper, and he ran to the sideline, like, holding his arm after the play. That's the other part of this. It's not just can Miles play. It's can he take hits to that shoulder over and over and over again from tight ends, from guards, from running backs, you know that they're going to be targeting that shoulder, whether they say it or not.
Absolutely. And think about it. I mean, a shoulder for an edge rusher, when you're trying to wrap up and get sacks and bat down passes, I mean, his shoulders, he uses so many different, you know, spin moves and different things, and they all involve his shoulder. They all involve his shoulder. There's no way that he is going to be able to play at the level he is accustomed to playing if he has some structural damage in that shoulder. Now, sometimes you wake up the next day, you go get the MRI, and it's not as bad as you thought it was going to be, right? They dodged a bullet to a certain extent with Jed Wills Jr. this year. He thought he broke his leg, and it turned out to be a sprained knee. And he might be back on the field at some point at the end of the season or in the playoffs or whatever the case may be. But if there is structural damage of some sort in Miles' shoulder, such as, I don't even know. I don't even want to venture a guess. But if there is something wrong in there, then he's not going to be himself. And it could be something that requires some kind of a surgery, even postseason, that he might try to play through. I mean, we don't know yet. We're only speculating. But again, it's never good when a player hears something pop. And to visually see what he looked like, where he could not lift his arm. He couldn't lift his arm. I mean, I asked him three different times, do you want me to help you zip that bag? I mean, he couldn't zip the bag. And, you know, he had to have help getting his shirt on. And he did not move. He did not move that shoulder. Before he had the sling on it, he did not move it. He could not lift it. And that just doesn't sound good to me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so, look, I don't really care that much about this game and what happened in this game. It just sort of is what it is. The Browns played sloppy. They fumbled a lot. They committed a bunch of penalties. They lost the game. They lost their quarterback. I want to continue down this injury road because this is something I'm probably going to write over the next, you know, half day or whatever. It really feels like this team is reaching a breaking point if they aren't there already. I mean, just in that locker room today, And this is one of the biggest locker rooms. This is the best visitor locker room in the NFL, by the way. That doesn't mean anything to our listeners, but just trust me. Our experience in that locker room is great.
It's huge.
It's huge. It's gigantic. You can move around. You're not running into people.
You're not getting hit in the head with bags.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so in that locker room, right, we see Miles. Amari was in there. And... you know, like Amari didn't want to talk after the game. He has a rib injury. The x-rays were negative. But Amari banged up. You know, a little thing. Dalvin Tomlinson, you know, the team doctor was over kind of looking at his hand and kind of feeling around on his hand. And then he goes into the training room, comes out, his hand is wrapped. I'm sure Dalvin, like defensive linemen deal with that stuff all the time. I'm sure Dalvin's going to not miss any time. He might show up on the injury report. But... I doubt it would cost him time, but just being in that locker room, Mary Kane, seeing all these guys hurt, seeing DTR now concussed, it just really is starting to feel overwhelming. And these guys can say all the right things. They can say next man up. They can say, like, everybody's ready to play. They believe in the guys down the depth chart as much as they do the starters. But the reality is, if we're starting to feel it, if we're in that locker room and we're starting to see guys and it's like, oh my God, there's another guy dealing with something and another guy, and now they're down another quarterback, I'm sure it's got to be wearing on these players. And I've got to wonder how close this team is to kind of reaching that breaking point where this season, where they could still make the playoffs even without Deshaun Watson, is just going to get derailed by all these injuries.
I'll tell you what, I mean, when I walked into that locker room, one of the first people that I saw standing in there on his crutches was Nick Chubb. A reminder that from week two on, they have been without their star running back, who means so much to this football team. They brought him out here on this trip. fresh off ACL surgery. I'm actually a little surprised they brought him on a trip like this. And, you know, I'm sure they want him to be out in L.A. I'm guessing he's coming out to L.A. with them, and that's probably why they did this. But there he was standing in the middle of the locker room on his crutches, okay? So not only are you talking about losing bodies, because everybody does at this point, but you're talking about three-time Pro Bowler Deshaun Watson, four-time Pro Bowler Nick Chubb, four-time Pro Bowler Myles Garrett now with some kind of an injury, two-time first-team All-Pro Jack Conklin, Denzel Ward, what, three-time Pro Bowler?
Yeah.
Denzel Ward missed this game, which I thought hurt them today. You know, I mean, you're not just talking about your run-of-the-mill players.
Anthony Walker missed today's game, too.
Yes, Anthony Walker. You're talking about your star players that are out for all or most of the season. I mean, Jed hasn't made the Pro Bowl, but Jed is still your first-round pick that you went out and you spent a number 10 overall pick on to be your left tackle, and he's out for all intents and purposes. He's basically out for the rest of the season. He might come back for a game or two probably, but they have lost some of their absolute best players this season, and it's really taking its toll.
And even that, like, Ashley, I mean, like, Ronnie Hickman was out there today, and he was out there on that key big pass play that we aren't exactly sure what happened, but it seemed like, you know, Greg said after the game they were in a coverage and Denver just took advantage of it. But it sure seemed like Greg was maybe expecting something and Ronnie was expecting something. And those two haven't played together much, but Rodney McLeod is out now. So we're even talking about, like, not even star players, but even depth guys who were really important to all of this. They're starting to lose some of those guys now. I mean, Za'Darius went down today for a little while. Now he seems to go down every game and then come back in. But, you know, that just shows you, like, okay, now if Za'Darius goes down, what are they going to do? I don't know. I don't think they're at that breaking point yet, but I think they're teetering. And, you know, look, if Joe Flacco looks like he's 38 years old and looks like a guy that probably shouldn't have been on a roster, then that's it. But if he's at least serviceable, they can probably still figure this out. But they're really, really close here.
Yeah, and I think, too, what's tough is they've lost, like Mary Kay outlined, right, so many key players on offense in particular that's been killer. It seemed like the one side of the ball had been getting pretty ravaged by the injury bug lately. But now we're getting to a point where those nagging injuries, or like in the case of Miles, you know, maybe potentially something that wasn't so much nagging, or maybe it was, we'll find out, I guess, are now hitting the other side of the ball, too. And that, I think, is what's so tough, is because at least for the longest time, you could say, okay, this defense is good enough to keep you in any game, no matter what's happening on the other side of the ball. But when you lose guys like Rodney McLeod, who's like a coach on the field, Denzel Ward, who is one of their most physical players, like, I think it was so obvious today that they missed Denzel Ward. And yes, I asked Greg Newsom about it, and he, you know, gave, I think, a standard answer that a player would give, that you're just going to go out there with the guys you have and make it work. If you watch that game, they missed Denzel Ward. There's no getting around it. And now, like I said, if Miles isn't defensive player of the year Miles, that's another hit in its own right, even if he does play. So I do think that's ultimately, to me, when you're getting to the this might just be too much, is when these defensive guys start going. And it gets to a point where it's suddenly next man up mentality is player and coach speak, just at a certain point.
Yeah. You know, right, there's a reason, like, this is nothing against Ronnie Hickman, but there's a reason that he wasn't starting, wasn't even active for a while. Like, he's an undrafted guy. He's going to take time. You don't want him out there playing a ton of snaps necessarily. So, yeah, they're getting their depth tested here. Okay, there's one other thing I want to touch on, and that is, like, we will talk about something in this game. The drop passes were back today. And this Amari Cooper thing, this Amari Cooper scare, just got me thinking about something we've been saying on this pod all along, that this team feels like it's a wide receiver short. And Elijah Moore we were saying that before. We've seen kind of Elijah Moore this season, and he just hasn't been able to deliver on what we thought he would to this point. So now if they're without Amari for any amount of time, I don't know what they do at receiver. But Mary Kay, all of these drop passes, how much of it is like, hey, you guys got to go catch the football? Is there anything on DTR? I don't know. I can't figure it out. Part of me is like, hey, Amari, if you get your hands on the ball, you just have to catch it. But also, after that 2-point play, DTR was pretty upset and he was kind of pointing at himself. So I think they're adjusting here to DTR, who is not super accurate necessarily. He's a little bit all over the place, but also, like, guys have to catch the football.
Yeah, it is a concern. It's definitely a concern because there were 6 to 8 drops last week against the Steelers, and they reared their ugly head again this week. Jerome Ford had one. David Njoku, how many did you guys count for David Njoku today?
Today, okay, so he had the one in the back of the end zone.
Yes.
Where he got the
yes.
where he got hit.
What? Yeah.
Right, was that the one with the flag?
I don't know.
No, maybe no. I'm thinking no. a different one. But he had the one in the back of the end zone.
Yeah, there were at least two others.
And yes, there was one where he might have scored on
a
catch and
yes,
run
yes.
that he dropped. And I do think there was another one. So yes.
at least three. So we're talking about 7 drops by him in 2 weeks. At least 7. We're gonna have to, you know, we have to go back and watch this one again and count them up. But 7 in 2 weeks. Like, that's bad. DTR is not connecting with Amari Cooper. Not connecting with Amari Cooper at all. So these guys are not making the adjustment well to DTR. They're just not. And, you know, part of that is because he really hasn't had all that much time with some of these guys. Now, he did have chemistry with his former high school teammate, Cedric Tillman, today. You know, they can get it going, but everybody else, for the most part, is struggling. And if you can't make Amari Cooper be a big part of your game plan and hit some of those deep shots to him, I mean, that's basically one of the only bullets in their offensive gun are those deep shots to Amari Cooper. So it's been a struggle.
Yeah, well, you hope that if you do get Joe Flacco active, that at the very least he'll be able to get the ball downfield, because it seems like, again, DTR was not pushing the ball downfield today. And Ashley, I mean, Amari didn't talk to us after the game, but yeah, I mean, that just hasn't been there.
I do think, like, some of it is the pushing the ball down the field part of it, especially with Amari Cooper. You know, I also think that's part of the reason that Donovan Peoples-Jones, before he got traded, had trouble popping when DTR was filling in for Deshaun Watson there in the early part of the season when Deshaun was dealing with the other shoulder issue. So I do think you see that. And, like, ultimately, I keep coming back to, and I very much have been a person, like, throughout my time covering football, that I'm like, if a ball hits you in the hands, you got to catch it, right? Like, that is just a drop speed. You have to make the play. But Amari Cooper and David Njoku didn't just suddenly forget how to catch the football the last 2 weeks either. Like, yes, David Njoku has a history of drops in his career, but they had pretty much remedied that over the last couple of seasons. And Amari Cooper, same thing. I know he's had some drop issues in the past, but, like, this is one of the best route runners in the NFL. There is nothing precision-wise that Amari Cooper is missing. So I do think it is just that chemistry aspect and working with a new quarterback. And, you know, it sounds like an intangible, and I think, you know, some fans might, like, roll their eyes at that, but I do think there is something to it, because now we've seen it for 2 straight weeks, and it's a pattern now, and it's a concerning pattern.
Okay, so the Browns losers today, they are 7-4. They're currently 3rd in the AFC North, tied with Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh at this moment has the tiebreaker over them. Baltimore, as we're recording this, it seems like they're going to win. They're up 10 points with less than 2 minutes left. They just scored, so it looks like they're going to move to 9-3. Your playoff picture: the Browns are now 6th, but they are a game up on 3 teams who are 6-5, including Houston. They're going to travel to Houston and play them on Christmas Eve. And Denver is one of those teams as well, who, of course, they would have the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Browns now. So it's that time of year. We're scoreboard watching. We're playoff standings watching. And this game certainly hurts the Browns in a lot of ways in that regards. But still, if they can just get these injuries figured out and get this quarterback figured out, they might still have a chance to make it to the playoffs when all is said and done. So it's off to L.A. The Browns play the Rams next week. Make sure you're subscribed to this podcast. Search Orange and Brown Talk on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Become a Football Insider subscriber. Cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. And find us on Instagram. Search Orange and Brown Talk. For Mary Kay and Ashley, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.